Yo Pods, check out Meet Mitch and Leewood for award-winning barbecue, outstanding atmosphere, and your destination to watch all your favorite March Madness action. Tailgating for opening day? Place your order online and pick up on way to the game. Meet Mitch Barbecue, East 95th and Mission in Ranch Martin or Shopping Center.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Let's do the NFC. Let's go to the NFC. Offensive scoring overall, top 10, Philadelphia.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson, Josh Briscoe, and Beards. We've talked wide receiver today. We've talked a lot of Kansas State as they get ready for Michigan State tonight. But this tweet from Aaron Wilson covers the NFL for the Houston Chronicle. In the Baltimore, or previously worked for the Houston Chronicle and the Baltimore Sun, but covers the NFL, says Cardinals DeAndre Hopkins trade market headlined by Bills per NFL sources. Five-time Pro Bowl selection has plenty of interest on trade market, but financial expectations might impact any further interest from Chiefs, Ravens, not among bidders, per sources. I need a comma or a period or something there, because that sentence, but financial expectations might impact any further interest from Chiefs, Ravens, not among bidders, per sources. How about that? That was my...
That's Aaron Wilson texting you saying...
That was a thought in my mind. I've got an idea.
Hey, here's an idea, everybody.
Comma. Because that's a big difference if it's... Financial expectations might impact any further interest. Chiefs, Ravens, not among bidders, per sources. Or financial expectations might impact any further interest from Chiefs. Ravens not among bidders. Because it would be odd for him to, might impact any further interest from, and then just stop.
Mm-hmm.
The Chiefs being the first team tells me that the Chiefs do have interest still, as we decipher his tweet, but financial expectations might impact any further interest from the Chiefs. And the Ravens are not among the bidders for DeAndre Hopkins, per sources, according to Aaron Wilson, who I would guess would have some closer relationship with people around DeAndre Hopkins, because Aaron Wilson lives in Houston, covers the Texans, has covered the Texans for a long time. Hopkins was a Texan for a long time. That, you know, there may be either an agency or even DeAndre Hopkins that he may have developed a relationship with. And this may be coming directly from DeAndre Hopkins, who put out the cryptic IG, post yesterday about being a Buffalo Soldier. But the trade market headlined by the Bills. Financial expectations might impact any further interest from the Chiefs, Ravens not among bidders. So there are three teams there. Bills, Chiefs, and Ravens are mentioned. It's interesting, the financial expectations might impact any further interest, but the Bills are headlining the market when they're one of the teams we've talked about that were in one of the most difficult positions with the salary cap. Now that Josh Allen's contract is really kicking in, Von Miller's contract has the escalators that start this year. It does show they are $11 million under the cap right now.
F that money.
But the Chiefs are $10 million under the cap right now. Right. So I don't know what other things that the Bills can do. We know what the Chiefs can do. They can extend Chris Jones. We know they can do that.
It'll be about $5 million or so for their draft class.
Yeah.
Again, there are ways they could move more money still. But.
Yep. And if you trade one of those picks for DeAndre Hopkins, that's more money than you would have on the salary cap. In fact, real quick, as I go and look at that, if the Chiefs are sitting at $10.4 million under the cap, and if they were to trade, let's say, a round three pick, that's just under $1 million. So $11 million is what they would have under the cap.
Let me try this.
DeAndre Hopkins.
I'm going to try something. Beards, go ahead and mark. You can mark this for the future.
Pre-marking.
Just this here about what we're about to do. The Kansas City Chiefs are not going to trade for DeAndre Hopkins. Go ahead and mark that. Save that. It's a win-win. Here's what we've got. One, either I'm right, or two, I broke the curse, and you're welcome, America. Because I really don't think they're going to trade for DeAndre Hopkins. I've never thought that was the most likely path. But if they did make it happen, as Albert Breer wrote on SI.com today, he said that he does think that he'll bring back more to the Cardinals than Brandon Cooks did for the Texans, getting a fifth and a 2024 sixth rounder for Brandon Cooks from the Cowboys. But he says the Cardinals are not getting that second round pick plus something else. And he thinks it will be closer to what Cooks brought back for the Texans than what the Cardinals were originally looking for. If you say the Chiefs could land DeAndre Hopkins, certainly for a fourth round pick, and really, because it's so late in the third, if you said their third rounder, I'd be all right with that. It would be a little bit out of character with the version of Brett Veach we're watching and how the Chiefs have been very, very limited in adding older players on purpose, you know, on multi-year deals, and certainly also sending draft assets. But I would be interested in that. I also would have been kind of interested in a fifth and sixth for Brandon Cooks, and you know I am not trade all the draft picks for the guy I've heard of. Like, that is not really my MO. It's not really Brett Veach's MO at this point. But I would be pretty surprised if DeAndre Hopkins ends up happening. And if it does happen, you can play that clip back, and I'll be thrilled, because I'll also take credit for finally being the one to say it out loud that confidently, which lets me be the old takes exposed guy, and then boom, the Chiefs have a number one receiver again.
Well, if it's closer to Brandon Cooks, that's fascinating, because Brandon Cooks brought back a fifth and a sixth.
Yep.
And
they're paying money.
Paid
yes.
$6 million.
Yes, yes, yes.
So the cap hit for Brandon Cooks this year is less than $6.5 million. The cap hit next year is $13.5 million, where with DeAndre Hopkins, you're looking at 19 plus and then 14 plus in the 2 years for him to be on a new team. 19.45 and 14.9 the next 2 years of cap hits. I mean, if you had a chance to get Brandon Cooks for a fifth and a sixth, and it's going to cost you 19 total in 2 years against the cap, that's pretty damn good.
Yep.
What's it going to cost you to get DeAndre Hopkins? That is going to be $33, $34 million against the cap in the next 2 years. Now, there would probably be some restructuring of a contract. Would the Arizona Cardinals have to pitch in a little bit of money to help out, just like the Houston Texans did, because the Dallas Cowboys were not willing to go and pay the whatever $18 million, all of that stuff that he might have been owed in cash. So they paid six of it. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins becomes much more interesting to me.
Oh, yeah.
If it's closer to Brandon Cooks for a fifth and a sixth. I mean, a third and a sixth, and you get back a fifth or something like that, you know, for DeAndre Hopkins. I'd be all in favor of that. You would then give up two third rounders and a sixth, and you get back a fifth for Kadarius Toney and DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty enticing.
Heck of a way to rebuild your receiving group. Yeah. It's
pretty enticing. But that may not be the asking price. It may be that DeAndre Hopkins is already discussing what he wants in a contract, and the Bills are the ones that are closer to agreeing to that, and they've already figured out what the Arizona Cardinals want in return. So the Bills are interested and okay with that, and the Chiefs may be interested and okay with that, but the financial implications from DeAndre Hopkins, the Chiefs might be balking at.
And I really think they are genuinely very interested in Odell Beckham. I think that is not just connecting the dots of guys we've heard of. And if it is Odell, the contract structure is completely within their control. Now, he's got to agree to it, of course, but it's not something you're inheriting across from the Cardinals and trying to figure out what they're paying and all of that. If it's Odell Beckham, it could look a lot like that Juju deal where it's 1 year, $10 million. That's actually 1 year, $3 million with incentives, and then that money moves over to next year. They could have cap space for Odell right now, depending on how willing he is to take incentives and to see what those numbers end up being. I think that door is still very much open, and it seems like the list of teams who are waiting around for Odell at this point is shrinking, which is good for the teams that are still there, which I do believe the Chiefs to be among them.
Well, if I had my choice, I would take Hopkins over Odell Beckham Jr., but what do I think is more likely is Odell Beckham Jr. over DeAndre Hopkins. I wouldn't hate Odell Beckham Jr. on the Chiefs. I would just be concerned about the injury history. I would be concerned about the games that he's missed over the last few years and the fact that Kadarius Toney is also somebody that you're going to be relying on. Two of your top three, or maybe your top two receivers, are guys that have battled injuries the last couple of years. Again, Odell Beckham Jr., since his 2019 season when he had 74 receptions, over 1,000 yards, and 4 touchdowns in 16 games, including playoffs, has played a total of 25 games in the last 3 years.
Yep.
With 88 catches, 1,100 yards, 10 touchdowns. But that's in 25 games. Juju Smith-Schuster in 19 games had 88 receptions, over 1,000 yards, and only 3 touchdowns. So it was fewer games for Juju to essentially do what Odell Beckham Jr. has done.
Yep.
Over the course of 2 years plus playoffs, that's what Juju was able to do for the Chiefs this last year. I think Odell Beckham Jr. is better than Juju Smith-Schuster, so I think that production would increase. But is the health there for Odell Beckham Jr. and his second knee injury? Is he that same guy? Because the ceiling is fantastic for sure. What Odell Beckham Jr. can be for this Chiefs team.
And I would say I'm semi-optimistic about Beckham's health and what he could do, but I also feel like I'm being very realistic about it. I'm like, oh, no, he's going to be his old self. I'm not even making that argument. But we've talked a ton this last week or two, and specifically Teicher made this point, I think both Tuesdays, we've chatted this last couple weeks. The redundancies at positions are a good thing, right? I saw some people on Chiefs Twitter being alarmed that the Chiefs brought back Derek Nnadi because they're hoping they upgrade at the position. And here's what I'd tell you. Going into the draft, Derek Nnadi is in that spot right now. And the Chiefs will still have a chance to upgrade. But you're not going to have a windfall there. You're going to have a guy who you actually literally have won Super Bowls with in that spot. So even if you want to upgrade, even if his play drops off, wherever you're at with Derek Nnadi in this example, it allows you to keep your options open and to not have to desperately draft a position. Right now, if the Chiefs bring back Justin Watson, and let's say they sign OBJ, now, they could still absolutely take a receiver at 31 because the only multi-year contracts I think they'd have that go beyond next season would be just Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore, I think, because MVS would be entering the last year of his deal, and then OBJ and Watson would almost certainly be on one-year deals. You could still make that draft pick as an investment there, and I would feel so much better about the short-term health of that receiving group than I would if they just signed Justin Watson, even if they draft someone at 31, even if they trade up and get their favorite receiver in the draft. I have real concerns about what a rookie receiver is reasonably expected to do in week one in Andy Reid's offense. I'm worried about what he'll do in week 20 in Andy Reid's offense.
Sky Moore.
Who the Chiefs seem to really genuinely have loved. They traded back in that spot because I'm sure they had a few receivers they liked. I'm guessing they thought Sky was going to be there for them. We've seen incredible talents like Tyreek Hill not be massive parts of the pass catching game as rookies with Andy Reid. It's a really hard thing to do. I think Odell raises the ceiling and the floor this year. You could still invest for the long haul and try to create that stability, but it is just a very tumultuous group right now.
Something to keep in mind with DeAndre Hopkins as well in the 9 games that he played last year for Arizona in his 64 receptions, 700 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Those 9 games were 4 games with Kyler Murray, 4 games with Colt McCoy, and 1 game with Trace McSorley.
Yeah.
And he was able to do that with those guys. So anybody that would be concerned about, well, you know, I mean, is Hopkins, does he still have it? I mean, you know, only 3 touchdowns in 9 games. And yeah, he still has it because he was playing with, again, Kyler Murray, Colt McCoy, and Trace McSorley. 5 of the 9 games were Colt McCoy and Trace McSorley were the guys that were throwing him the football for the Arizona Cardinals, playing in an offense and a coach that got fired at the end of the year. So yes, I think DeAndre Hopkins still has it. Does Odell Beckham Jr. still have it? I mean, he was pretty good in the playoffs for the Rams.
He really was.
I mean, he hasn't been the most efficient. Now, quarterbacks throwing him the football has been an issue there in Cleveland. He hasn't been the most efficient of the targets to receptions. Since 2019, he's had 151 targets and only 88 receptions. Not great. But in the playoffs, 24 targets, 21 receptions. Almost 300 yards and a couple of touchdowns. So, when he had to be good, and it was maybe more of the Rams looking for him, he was good. And, you know, Cooper Kupp was on the other side, so that certainly helps. But Travis Kelce is out there for the Chiefs.
I think that would work. I really do. I really think Odell and Kelce on the field together would just be absolute hell to try to deal with that. I do think it would be like the souped up Juju logic of having someone else who can bring some of that attention away in the sort of the mid-range. And
is that for like 4 games?
Well, look, man, I mean, they already traded for Kadarius Toney, so clearly they believe that this training staff has flubber.
He'll come about 6 more.
There you go. Like he and McColl did last year. One was healthy, the other wasn't. Well, McColl really
and,
don't
and also here. you keep saying the 9 games DeAndre Hopkins played last year immediately following a PED suspension, and I think he was banged up. I can't remember why, what that extra odd game was. It might have just been the Cardinals packing it in at the end of the year. I can't remember. But like we're talking about receivers in their 30s. We are having an argument of, would you like this 30-year-old receiver who hasn't been healthy for the last 3 years, or this 30-year-old receiver who has been banged up and is coming off a PED suspension last season? Who would you rather have?
Listen, here's what they do.
So I don't feel like either of these are real answers.
The Rams are tearing it down.
Yeah.
Just go get Cooper Kupp.
Third-round pick. Go ahead, L.A. You're welcome. Hey, bleep these picks.
2 picks, 1 cup.
Yeah, sure. He's 29. He'll be 30 soon. We'll get him at a discount.
See, that's the other thing that I wonder about the Chiefs is...
Oh, he only played 9 games last year. Never mind.
He's been hurt too, actually, yeah. This crazy thing keeps happening to older receivers.
Uh-huh. The Chiefs aren't usually interested in guys whose age starts with a 3.
That's right.
Whether that's trading for them or signing them. Certainly drafting them would be odd.
that would be tough, but
all 3 phases, you know, offense, defense, and special
teams. Listen, that COVID year, man, you can stretch that.
Seriously, yeah. Baycott's coming back for year 6, right? Is that what he tweeted?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, Kobe Brown might be heading back to Mizzou. That'd be great. NIL. Thank you, NIL.
I'm trying to see the Chiefs roster here to actually just find out how many guys over 30 they have on the roster at the moment. Travis Kelce's 1, and it's probably close. Holy bleep. Okay, ready for the list?
I mean, their defense is like 28 years and under.
This is the list of guys over the age of 30 on the Chiefs roster, just on ESPN.com right now. I think there are guys who are probably... I'm not sure how recent this is updated. It's basically the short version. So here's the entire extensive list of guys over the age of 30 on the roster. Travis Kelce, Austin Ryder, Blake Bell, who's not actually currently on the roster, if memory serves. He doesn't sign anywhere else, if I've got my facts right.
And who else?
Travis Kelce, Austin Ryder, Blake Bell.
You keep stopping after Blake Bell. Aren't there more?
Well, I could tell you this, Beards. There are 2 more guys who are 30, which would be Joe Tooney and Jerick McKinnon.
Oh, so you're saying over 30.
3 over 30, 5 guys on the roster whose ages actually start with a 3. And again, in terms of contract at the moment, I think it's just 2. Travis Kelce, age 33. Joe Tooney, age 30. Because Ryder, Bell, and McKinnon, I think, are all free agents. Although Mick brought up Austin. We were talking about Austin Ryder yesterday, believe it or not. He might be on a futures deal or something at this point, too. Although I don't know what the age cutoff on that is.
They ended the season last year with 8 players who were 30 years or older. Chad Henne, Carlos Dunlap, Travis Kelce, Brandon Williams, James Winchester, Blake Bell, Michael Burton, Jerick McKinnon, Joe Tooney. It's the only players on their team that were over 30.
Sorry, I did cut off James Winchester. On the ESPN roster layout, they have special teams in their own region for some reason.
Well, yeah,
they don't do this for offense.
It's an entire phase.
They do this for defense also. Okay, hold on.
It's so, offense, defense, and special teams.
And yeah, so Brandon Williams and Carlos Dunlap, obviously not currently on the roster. And so Winchester.
And Aminahou and Tranquil are like, you know, 25 years old.
Yep. Not a lot of 30 pluses
no.
here.
And it makes sense. Cheaper, younger, faster, hopefully more athletic. And you're not getting guys that are later in their career on third contracts.
Yep.
And you know, players that you're going out and signing for a second contract that are high-priced guys. You've got a couple of those. You try to get Trent Williams up in the second contract. But Joe Tooney, a lot of money for him. But it was you... Again, attacking and throwing money at a position that was of need, that had been ravaged the year before.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to protect Patrick Mahomes. And then last year, the cornerback position. It was a position of need, and they threw numbers at it in the draft. And, you know, L'Jarius Sneed, you know, a couple of years before that. And so, you know, what Eric Eager tweeted out that, you know, talking about the wide receiver position and people are, you know, worried and concerned about what it looks like right now and tweeting out like, hey, you know, the Chiefs wide receiver room right now was Kadarius Toney, MVS, and Sky Moore. And that's it. And his point was, yeah, this time last year was L'Jarius Sneed, Rashad Fenton, DeAndre Baker, and DiCaprio Boodle were the cornerbacks on this team. Well, that's not what they looked like when they won the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that was March 23rd of 2022. Okay, so March 23rd of 2023, what are we going to talk about, you know, what this wide receiver group looked like in the season, March 23rd of 2024? You know, and are we going to be talking about some other position that you're like, wow, they got to figure this out right now. What are they doing? What are they going to do here? And I know the conversation can be out there of like, do they need somebody? I mean, come on, they didn't have Mecole Hardman. Juju Smith-Schuster is okay. He's a fine receiver. So they won a Super Bowl with Juju and Kadarius Toney and MVS and Sky Moore. So you just take out Juju, and they can add in somebody else and then a draft, and you're going to be better, really, at the wide receiver spot. But that would be ignoring the fact that they wanted to trade for A.J. Brown. Mm-hmm. And I think the Chiefs want to have a big-time receiver with Patrick Mahomes, if not every year, close to every year. And you do have to start planning, and maybe that's not what DeAndre Hopkins or Odell Beckham Jr. would be, but you do have to start planning for life after Travis Kelce. You know, not many people thought they were going to have to start planning for life after Tyreek Hill as quick as they did.
Right.
And they did, and they nailed it, and they won a Super Bowl. So you do have to start planning for what this offense is going to look like without Travis Kelce. Because Kelce not on the field, and then you say, hey, the weapons for the Chiefs are MVS, Kadarius, Toney, and Sky Moore. Then it is the huge eye worried emoji that's there. That's different. But when you say it's MVS, Kadarius, Toney, and Sky Moore, and Travis Kelce, oh, okay, yeah, no, that's fine. Yeah, because there's a lot of teams that maybe have a better receiver that's there in that group, but their tight ends are, you know, Josh Briscoe and Beards.
We got a couple great tight ends.
That's exactly right. Also play the position.
Oh, yeah, too. That too.
So Kelce makes a huge difference, but what's life after Travis Kelce? Maybe that's the draft this year.
Darkness.
I mean, honestly, maybe that's the draft. Maybe that's the first round. Maybe they trade up and people are like, oh, here comes a receiver. And they're like, oh, we'll take a...
Sadness.
Tight end.
Weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Sackcloth and ashes.
You know, you don't want to have to plan for the, you know, life after the greatest that played at his position. And who is such a difference maker.
Yeah, I tell you what, I mean, the Chiefs have done that once already, so should I do that again?
How'd that work out?
It worked out pretty good, I guess. It took a second, but...
How'd that work out?
Look, you had to swing and miss on Tony Moyaki first, and then you figured it out.
Let's see, who else was there? O'Shaughnessy? O'Shaughnessy, the big beard?
James O'Shaughnessy.
O'Shaughnessy?
We got a little bit of... Sean McGrath was a big beard.
McGrath was the beard.
McGrath was the beard.
O'Shaughnessy... Tony Moyaki, that's a good one.
Moyaki, you remember that catch in the back of the end zone that was not a catch?
And you had...
that was incredible.
Oh, the Italian. Played in Miami.
Anthony Fasano. Don't forget about Leonard Pope. Not in this house.
We never forget about the Pope.
The Pope is really important.
That's right. There's white Jeez smoke history. Coming from the balcony right now. That's how little we ever forget about the Pope. Yeah, that was the Motley Crue. Of tight ends from Tony Gonzalez to eventually Travis Kelce. Yeah, it wasn't easy.
No.
But they did it.
They did do it.
There's a lot of teams that are going through that motley crew right now trying to find their next or their Travis Kelce or their tight end that can help them. And they're paying a lot of money for a Hayden Hurst. You know? To the point that the Bengals were like, yeah, we want to bring you. Well, not at that price. Like, I also think it's an interesting decision that you sign Orlando Brown and let Samaje Perine walk. I mean, it's a choice. You sign Orlando Brown and then let one of the best pass-blocking running backs in the NFL walk. Now, they wanted to sign him. He went to Denver. But you could also offer him more money. You know, just it's an odd strategy to leave behind guys who aren't good at pass-blocking and bringing in Orlando Brown and ignoring the fact that Jerick McKinnon is a big part of the pass protection for this Chiefs team this last year.
I have some bad news.
What's the bad news?
Travis Kelce was born in 1989. Motley Crue was formed in 1981, so they're too old to help the Chiefs at this point either.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
I'm kind of feeling like Twitter has less of a bot problem and more of a butt problem.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, let's get you set for the college basketball Sweet 16 going on tonight and tomorrow and on into the Elite Eight.
Previewing every matchup.
That's right.
In a manner of speaking.
Previewing the matchup the only way we can. The only way we know how.
The only way we will.
I mean, Bama, San Diego State, Creighton, Princeton.
Yeah.
Florida Atlantic, Tennessee, K-State, Michigan State, a little Houston, Miami, a little X versus T, Arkansas and UConn and the Zags and the Bruins and that great game with Suggs hitting the three at the buzzer and overtime and the Final Four in the bubble the last time the Zags and the Bruins matched up in the NCAA tournament, and you got scores and everything going on. So I do, and we do want to break those things down, and we do it in the way that we do it. Let's start with the Jabroni region, otherwise known as the South or the Jabroni region, whatever. Alabama is still alive, as some of these other pieces of sound have been lost, and that is unfortunate. Alabama still alive, and they match up with San Diego State. Alabama's this.
Hey, I got some wise words for that Cincinnati mayor. Know your role and shut your mouth, you jabroni.
No regrets as a one seed.
No.
Well seeded. Number one overall, earned.
Absolutely. San Diego State was the 5 seed, Virginia the 4. They lost to Furman, the 13. And San Diego State took care of Furman and an entire team. Not only a guy named Furman, but an entire team. San Diego State, of course, why wouldn't it be anything but this?
It's really good. I think that might be your best impression work. This is also not me asking you to go through your Rolodex, because I do want to keep some listeners for a little longer.
No. It's there's a lot of bad impressions.
That one's good,
though.
That
one I will take pride in.
Yeah, you should.
That one I will take pride in.
You should, man. That's
incredible. There's only been one person that has criticized me on that.
Yeah?
And it was somebody who hates fun who said...
Well, I guess we're not going to know who that is. We're going to go to break.
I'm rooting for the upset.
Yeah, are you?
I love that one.
And gone, San Diego State. It would be if they were to lose. That game's tomorrow. On the bottom half of the Jabroni region, we have Creighton. The 6 seed has advanced to the second weekend. And, of course, that is represented by this.
Yeah, Sucre Wolodarski. My name's spelled Sucrewolodarski.
But I'm cool with it. And I watch. I watch from the corner.
God, I love that skit.
Beautiful.
I love that skit.
Beautifully done.
Sucrewolodarski. that is Creighton.
A real Cinderella.
That's right.
Sue Creighton.
Taking on Princeton. And, of course, one of the princes of Kansas City is also Travis Kelce. But Princeton, the 15 seed, is advancing. And this sound that is part of the Cinderella story.
How did it feel when Derwin James absolutely, I mean, powerbombed the f*** out of you on national television?
Not my first time getting powerbombed. So
that's right. I used to powerbomb you all the time growing up.
You actually put me through the wooden floor in our living room.
I forgot about that.
No, I remember it. The feeling of knowing that Dad and Mom were going to come home to a hole in the floor was not the best feeling in the world.
The powerbombing
just shows the strength of the tournament.
Who wins, Sucre Wolodarski or powerbombing the out of you?
I think Sue Creighton advances.
Sue Creighton powerbombs Princeton. I hope somebody does. You know what? Here's my assessment of that game. If Creighton decides not to guard Princeton, I think it would be a rough night for them, because I think Princeton will hit threes if they're not guarded.
That's a really bold thing for you to say, but I believe it.
Yeah. If they are left wide open to shoot threes... And they have to be, Creighton would have to be in a zone because their man-to-man defense can't stay with Princeton.
They're a 15. They're going to be a pushover.
That their man-to-man defense wasn't able to keep up the dribble drive against Princeton, forcing the coach to go to a zone, which has been crap all year. If that happens, I think Princeton can win if they shoot a bunch of open threes.
This is very specific analysis.
No, it's Doug McDermott. It's a specific coach, Greg McDermott. It's a specific Greg and Doug McDermott show. That's what it is. I'll get the father-son matchup correct eventually. To the east we go. It needed to be said. Of course, it needed to be said that Purdue was going to find themselves out of the tournament early and would not be here. But you know what? Florida Atlantic is, and not only knocking off Memphis, but knocking off Fairleigh Dickinson. And, of course, Florida Atlantic is this sound.
I'm grateful to be able to play this game for my great-grandfather, and I'm glad that he's looking down on me. I know I'm making him proud.
You said this ball's for him?
Yeah, this is for him. Another thing, stop playing us, man. We the Detroit Lions. We the Detroit Lions. Stop playing with us. I don't even watch TV, but I heard everybody already picked the Packers over us. Stop playing with us. That's all I got to say, man. Don't let these tears fool you. It's all dog around this mug. I'm good.
Deserving team to be there. When you have that much emotion and passion, of course you're going to win a couple of games and are going to be in the second weekend.
I tried Venmoing Clark Hunt to pay a running back in one specific instance. I just went to Jamal Williams in Kansas City.
Number four seed Tennessee is facing off against Florida Atlantic tonight, and the four seed represented by this.
Arian was telling me about how the NFL is rigged and how every year he used to get a script.
Yeah.
Day one of training camp that would get dropped off at his locker.
Mm-hmm.
And you would have to, you know, it was like week one, you'll do this. Week two, you're going to have a hamstring injury. Week three, this is going to happen.
Yeah.
Week four, you're going to get three touchdowns. Mm-hmm. And so then you just have to, did you memorize those before the season started? Or would you go and rehearse the script before every game?
We really dedicated to it. So it was more so like that's what practice was about. It was about practicing the script. Like, this is what goes on and this is what we have to do in order to. Yeah.
And this referee is going to miss this call because they hate you and they love the Colts.
Yeah,
that sort of thing.
WWF. So it's like, you know, we know what's going to happen, but you still got to put on a show.
Yeah.
What did you think when you got the script in 2016 that said your career was going to fall off a cliff when you stopped believing in God?
That was 2015.
Yeah.
Yeah. The script in NFL is Tennessee. To the bottom half of the bracket, then the it needed to be said region. Kansas State, the three seed, still alive. And you knew they would still be alive when you've got this passion as a coach.
This is not about who we just beat. This is about us winning. Accomplish when you do it out of a motive of love and joy and passion. Now, I told y'all, we'll get you one court storming from here on out. Expect to win.
Crazy how the selection committee ended up with that piece of audio connected to K-State. It's weird how that happened.
Unlike the actual selection committee, this selection committee was paying attention to where the teams would play.
That's right. Michigan State, the 7 seed, after knocking off the 2 Marquette. Michigan State, oh, I'm glad that this one is still with us right now and is continuing on in the tournament, and we'll see if it does for one more game. I don't think it will. I think Kansas State wins. But here's Michigan State.
It's utterly pointless. I mean, it's completely pointless. I'll tell you what I'm going to start doing with these ties. I mean, it's not really big enough to be a pib. It's just skinny. Okay, what's annoying about it? This knot squeezing your neck. Ingrown hairs on it after you shave, because typically tie things you shave. What I am going to start doing is, and I'll probably go to, like, Salvation Army.
Yeah.
And we can get some ties, and then I'm just going to flat out just wipe my mouth with it. In front of everybody.
So if you it serves a purpose.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like eat a donut.
There you go.
Pizza, a little oil hill. I'm going to do that and make sure people see that to a point where hopefully they get rid of these things.
Yeah.
I mean, because that is madness.
Jesse Langford is your guy, by the way.
That's the guy.
New York in the 1920s.
Where'd he grow up?
He was a New Yorker in the 1920s.
Great to hear him in New York.
Clothesmaker. He used his extra clothes, extra patterns, I guess, to, for some reason, make neckties. That's what he thought would be a good idea.
Well, he's an idiot. The thing is, when they invent a time machine, that guy's in trouble.
Yes. Mike Leach, neckties, taking on Jerome Tang and the post-game celebration. On to the Midwest in the Kiki Leaks region. The number one seed still alive, and that is the Houston Cougars, and it's this.
We'll see y'all in Burrowhead.
under Burrowhead Stadium, so feeling good about it.
Did you just say Burrowhead Stadium?
Yeah, Burrowhead Stadium, right? Yeah. Take care. See y'all at Burrowhead Stadium.
This team, man, we played together. I said it from the beginning when we were in the locker room. I said, we got to be together, and this team stepped up against a great football team, and we showed this place that's Arrowhead. It's not Burrowhead out here.
Hey, let me tell y'all something, man. Don't ever... Disrespect Arrowhead. I don't care how many times you done beat us. Don't ever disrespect Arrowhead Stadium. N-G-E-H-A!
I don't know who the hell they think they was calling this Burrowhead. I don't know who the hell they thought they was talking about. They was going to finish us off. They will take their bum ass back to Cincinnati. Man, they came to Chiefs game and got their ass stomped on. I don't know what number one did. I told him to holler at me. I told them all holler at me. I told them last year they ain't get my best. I told them this year they barely got my best. I told them with the playoffs, though, I'm the f***ing king. They got to holler at me every f***ing game.
Let's go.
Burrowhead my ass. Yeah. Woo!
Burrowhead, get the f*** out of here.
That went over well for them.
Yeah, it did.
It did work. Man, I'll miss Frank Clark. God. I asked number one what he did. Told him to holler at me. That's the number one seed there in the Kicky Leaks region. Miami, the five seed after knocking off the four Indiana. Miami, the five seed is this.
I am the seventh son of a seventh son. In all my life, they've said, hey, that's great. That's good luck. People of Kansas City, for those of you who don't know those folks, is some kind of town.
A very deceptive leader. And that he was quiet, but very demanding. When he spoke, they listened, because he was always, always under control. I said to him one day, I said, Leonard, make sure that you never let them see you sweat. And he said, Coach, quarterbacks don't sweat. Quarterbacks perspire.
Go ahead, Mike, Lenny Dawson.
Lenny Dawson leads the field.
Let's go, Leonard! That's the way to go, Leonard. You've done good, kid.
Lenny Dawson, listen to the crowd. One of the great underrated quarterbacks in the history of professional football, Lenny Dawson, almost makes it cry. The stuff he's had to take and the year he's had with a broken hand, the bad knee, spotted eye, but he did it today.
I can visualize it. When Hank took me out with a minute and a half or 2 minutes to go, whatever it was, in the ball game, we had it wrapped up, and just it was just something like, you know, a weight came off my shoulders, my whole body, you know, because geez, we finally did it. You know, we talk about it every year, winning the biggest prize there is, and that's the Super Bowl. But we actually accomplished that thing.
The Lynn Dawson tribute is the five-seed Miami facing off against Houston. That comes up tomorrow night. And then Xavier, Texas, tomorrow night as well. Xavier is this sound.
Let's ride. Let's ride. Let's ride. Broncos country, let's ride. Broncos country, let's ride. Broncos country, let's ride. Broncos country, let's ride.
Hold on a second, right. Everybody. Hold on a second.
I was
running the same.
That one got seated twice.
Well, hold on, everybody, because listen.
Number three seed in Kicking
Number
Leaks.
Three seed. Where is that? Where did that one come up, Beard? That's not supposed to be in there.
That was a three seed in the Jabroni region.
Three seed. Russell Wilson, let's ride promo. We had this issue when we first did this.
Oh, so there's no booty talk.
Well, we eliminated that one. Remember playing that one again?
It's been set up twice.
Region.
There's no booty talk in there.
Nope.
That is.
We had this discussion when we unveiled the bracket.
Thanks a lot.
Don't remember having this discussion.
Well, let's just say
it's a good thing I wasn't part of the seating committee. That's me.
Or the connecting the sound actually in the.
Where?
I wasn't part of that either.
The booty talk, Cynthia Freeland booty talk, is the three.
So we have eliminated. Let's ride. Correct.
Yep. It's
as
out.
That was
Baylor.
That was Baylor. Okay.
Yep. That was Baylor.
We will. The selection committee will reaffirm Cynthia Freeland booty talk. Yeah. As the Xavier three seed, we can play that here later, next segment or something.
Yeah, we had a whole conversation about booties with Cynthia Freeland.
Memorable.
And that's Xavier.
And that's why I don't remember playing that clip, Josh.
It was X-rated for Xavier.
That makes sense.
The number two seed, which is Texas, is this sound. that it was so nice. The family was gone. Wife was out of the house. I was all alone. Opened up the computer and just got into the salary cap. Oh, what a night. And of course, the McNipples region also gets underway tonight. And we'll hear that next.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Cynthia, are you okay with Beards playing the returner with the amazing English? Like, I was curious about that. As Cynthia Finley is our guest, NFL Network's analytics expert. Okay, good.
I love it. I own it. I own what I say. We're good.
Good, because we make fun of ourselves all the time, and we play things back all the time of when we mess up talking.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we got Sports or Leisure coming up in the next hour. McNipples region. Look, Arkansas-UConn, it's a fun matchup. It's a roller skating commercial, and there's a butt problem on Twitter. But the marquee matchup of the tournament, and really the Sweet 16 and what could be Elite Eight and also Final Four, a national championship. The marquee matchup is Gonzaga-UCLA. We all know this. And that is Gonzaga, the 3 seed, represented by this.
A lot of the time, there are these little perch or whatever, little fish, that'll come and get you. And I look down at one point, and one swims up and just starts tearing apart my nipple. And it is on there. And I swat it with my right hand, and it's still on. I swat it with my left, and it finally came off. And it was red. My nipple was red the rest of the day.
Did you get that fish's number?
Gonzaga taking on the 2 seed UCLA.
Do you guys want a teaser for the cuts that we'll get to later?
Yes.
By chance?
Yes.
They might or might not involve some McNipples later.
Okay.
McNipples or a McNipple? Is that like
can I get a large unsweetened tea and some McNipples?
Take six or 12.
Take a Big Mac and
six count honey McNipple.
Do you want the Mc? Yeah, let's get 2 McNipples. We got a coupon.
Kids? No. Okay. No. No big deal. Nope. All right. Just one.
Honey mustard or sweat with that.
The matchup everybody was anticipating, Gonzaga and UCLA.
Marquee, yes. Right there.
That is fantastic. The actual matchup we're anticipating is K-State and Michigan State tonight. 1.5-point dogs, K-State is.
1.5-point cats. Yeah. Moneyline was plus 100 straight up. I was looking at DraftKings earlier.
Yep.
I like it.
DraftKings has the boosts that are there. They've got a parlay boost tonight of 25% parlay boost for Michigan State and Tennessee winning.
Saw that and scrolled right past it.
Yeah, not going to go with that. I'll go with the 16% college basketball profit boost on any bet, and I'll take the Cats straight up money line.
Go hit that boost real quick.
As you should. I love all the storylines in tonight's game, but you know some of those in the K-State and Michigan State game. Just when Tom Izzo won the national championship, Jerome Tang was coaching high school basketball. And Jerome Tang can be the fourth coach. This week and on Monday, we can be talking about Jerome Tang being the fourth coach since the tournament expanded to make the Final Four in his first year coaching college basketball. Not at a school, just first year coaching.